In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 248. Brian Shackman here in the bowels of the estate in Massachusetts, and John Senecal. Is that your office?
Yeah, it's my office in Boston. I take a lot of crap for the stuff that's behind me on the wall here, Brian. You know,
yeah, I'm sure.
Yankee Stadium, the hitman Don Mattingly, who should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
He should be. He's I guess he and Bryce Harper don't like each other. Is that true?
That's crazy, right? We wanted to talk about that, Brian. It's interesting that, you know, with the trade deadline, right, all these reporters want to talk to the coaches, managers, and players about who the team should get, right? And, of course, who do they go to? They go to the main guy on the team, right? If it was the Yankees, they go to Judge. And
right.
Of course, the Phillies, they go to Harper. And it sounded like Harper thinks the team's not good enough. And then they asked Don Mattingly, and it was interesting. I'm glad you brought that up. His reaction was kind of strange, almost kind of like, what? Who the hell is Harper kind of even to be talking about this? You know, he likes to spend other people's money and all that. So this is a great time of year for baseball fans, but it's an interesting time of year for players because a lot of them are wondering where they're going to be living come August 4th. And a lot of them are just sitting here fielding questions that they should not be fielding and probably riling up some relationships in the organization.
Well, I would just say, you know, and this is out of order, but it's fine to talk about because I think it adds value to the listeners. I think Harper could say whatever the hell he wants. Like, I think Donnie's too old school on that one. Like, The guy's a superstar, and he gets paid a ton of money, and he's won a World Series, and he knows what they need to win another one, and I don't know. And I just think the Phillies are always so interesting because Dombrowski's not afraid to – he'd trade his mother. he'd do anything.
And that's the interesting thing because it's like they're asking literally a team that always does something. They're like the Yankees. Like, they literally always go out and get a player. And like you said, they don't care who they're going after. If they don't look at next year or 2 years down the road. They're literally looking at what's the next 2 months of my season.
And you can be critical of it, but there are people in Boston who miss that. Let's just be honest. But we'll get to the trade deadline in a minute. Let's do quick team updates going into the weekend, of course. Recording on Friday morning here. And do you want to – I always start with me. You want to start with the Yankees?
All right, I got a question for you, Brian.
Yeah.
If you were to guess how the Yankees rank in two categories since they lost Aaron Judge in Major League Baseball, there's 30 teams, right?
Yep.
Runs scored out of 30 teams, what would you guess?
Okay, it's a leading question, so I know it's bad. I would say 20.
Okay, 26th.
Okay.
Okay. Batting average.
24.
Last, 30th.
Are you serious?
30th in Major League Baseball. And the results show it, Brian. They literally cannot do anything, right? I mean, if you're watching this team, which you probably aren't, right?
I am.
I am watching the team, and I struggled through the last two extra inning losses where, you know, Aaron Boone is, you know, he just wants him to score a point, Brian. An extra point, a field goal, you know, you name it. He just wants him to score a point.
It got me. Why does he say point? It's a run. Just...
I really feel like he just does it to rile people up. I do.
He's here's the deal.
It's interesting because if you look down the lineup, obviously Austin Wells, Buck.
Go ahead. No.
I'm looking at the lineup, and there's
we must have a delay today.
You want my
what? It is. We have a delay today.
I think it is a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a delay.
Let's reset that. Just you go with your point. You go ahead.
Oh, I look at the lineup, right, and they're dead last. And surprisingly, you know, Judge is in the lineup. Bellinger's out for probably 6 weeks. And right now, the leading hitter on their team is Anthony Volpe. All right, which I can't figure that out. he's batting like around 250, but he strikes out a lot, and we all know he's terrible. So, yes, the Yankees have a lot of issues, but, you know, you sit here and complain all you want about, you know, the numbers, but I look at the intensity of the team. We talked about this before. The Red Sox are showing life. They have intensity. Yeah. The Yankees have nothing, Brian. They're dead in the water. And I'm going to point to one play. The final game against the White Sox, They go into extra innings and the catcher comes up with runners on, and it's a bunt situation, right? Everybody knows the guy's bunting. So what does he do? He bunts down to third base and he's jogging to first, thinking he's just going to get thrown out at first. You know, I'm going to push the runners over, I'm going to get thrown out at first. Well, what does the third baseman do, who's a former shortstop, Colson Montgomery? He flips the second and almost turns a double play. Well, Sanchez is running down first, and he realizes this, and he starts running, and they just beats it out. But that's what I'm talking about, Brian. Why do the Yankees always assume things? Gerrit Cole, World Series. I'm assuming someone's covering first base. You're paid a lot of money to play a game, and you are playing a game that every single game matters. Why are we not hustling? Why are we not giving 100%? And the Yankees continually do that. It's so frustrating. It is absolutely insanely frustrating to watch.
Well, what's interesting to me is there was a point right after Judge went out where they played pretty good, and they actually were in first place. And then we're like, oh, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. And then the last, what is it, maybe 3 weeks has just been really brutal. But they have the talent, and I don't know when Stanton's coming back, but they're still a playoff team without Judge, but they don't have a chance to win the World Series. The question is, you know, we'll get to the trade deadline stuff. You know, when Judge comes back, they transform the team, but even with him back, they probably still need a piece here and there. The good thing about the Yankees, and we'll get into it when we talk trade deadline, because I want to talk to the Red Sox, they don't need starting pitching. Like, they just don't. So they don't have a need where everyone else has a need, and that's an advantage, I think, in the market. But listen, let's talk about the Red Sox for a second, because to me, after the winning streak ended, and I thought it was extremely important not to, like, lose 3 or 4 in a row, which a lot of teams do coming off that kind of high. And the A's series was important to me because they needed at least a split, and they got 3 of 4. And I just feel like this Dodgers weekend series, if they can somehow win 2 or 3, and again, it's only August, right? But it's still, I think, such a significant thing to come out of those two series. If they come out of those two series with 5 wins in 7 games, I just think it puts them in such a good position. And I want to segue this right into the trade deadline, because there's not much I can say. You know, they've had a little more timely hitting, and their starting pitching has still been really solid. And obviously, Curtis Meade getting hurt, and they lost a legitimate left-handed arm, even though he was a little banged up. Whatever strategy they had is blown to bits. So as we segue into, because the Red Sox have a real chance here. To do something. Now, they're not a World Series team. They're not even close. But if they can add 1 or 2 players and get 1 or 2 guys back, they might have the depth to actually be dangerous. So I want to segue into a position that both teams need, which is, everyone says, catcher, right? And so there's Adley Rutschman. Seems like, I don't know why, because I think the Orioles are still in a playoff hunt, but for some reason, everyone's talking about him possibly being traded. And then there's Hunter Goodman in Colorado, which I think would have to cost you a lot, because he's young and he's got a lot of power. And I think you'd have to give up a ton to get him. I feel like you'd have to give up more than with Rutschman for some reason. I'm not sure why, but what's your take on that position and that market?
Yeah, so the interesting thing about catcher, Brian, is that's probably, other than pitching, it's the most sought-after position at trade deadline across the board, and there's not a lot to go around. Like, a lot of teams need catchers, and there's really, like you said, there's Ryan Jeffers, Hunter Goodman, Tyler Stevenson, Adley Rutschman. You know, Adley Rutschman's dealing with some wrist issues right now, so I think a lot of people are scared of that. He is a free agent, so that's why it makes him, after the season, which makes him tradable. Hunter Goodman strikes out a lot, but he's under control for 3 more seasons, which makes him very desirable. That being said, yes, the Yankees need a catcher. Yes, the Red Sox could use a catcher. I look at it like, we know the Yankees and Red Sox are both buyers now, right? So the competition even gets stiffer with the other teams. I look at it like, the Yankees need someone that can put the ball in play, right? They need someone's going to get on base at the catching position. They don't necessarily need a home run. They need someone that's going to get on base because nobody's getting on base.
Goodman, that takes Goodman out of the mix for them then.
Yep. Yeah, the Yankees aren't going to get Hunter Goodman. It's just not going to happen. His price tag's too high. They're not going to be able to trade for him. And if they're looking for other pieces anywhere else, they're going to have to use those players. Let's be honest, the Yankees don't have a lot to trade right now. They just don't. There's minor league injuries. There's lower level tier players. And the major league ready players that aren't pitchers aren't performing. Right, so they're not desirable. I look at it like the Yankees probably are going for Ryan Jeffers, right? But Minnesota's in it, and I don't know if they'll trade him. So I'm looking at someone like Liam Hicks from the Marlins, who's a good, solid player. He's getting pushed out by another catcher right now, so he doesn't necessarily have a full position for him at catcher, but he can play some first base, and he doesn't strike out a lot. He gets on base. So I'm looking at either Ryan Jeffers or Liam Hicks. That being said, Brian, now this is where it gets interesting between the Red Sox and the Yankees, because the Marlins are willing to trade anybody, really, except for Alcantara, their starting pitcher. So that being said, the Red Sox could use a shortstop. The Yankees could use a shortstop. The Red Sox could use a catcher. Yankees could use a catcher. Otto Lopez, shortstop for the Marlins, leading the league in hitting, gets on base, really good player. I could see the Yankees and Red Sox both trying for both of those players in a package deal. So this could get very interesting coming down to the traded deadline between the Yankees and Red Sox fighting for that combination of players or one or the other, along with the other teams that need them.
Do you think that the Yankees would trade a starting pitcher?
Yes, I do. But it's not going to be someone like, you know, obviously the big names. It's probably going to be someone like a Will Warren, maybe Clark Schmidt, who's on the IL, who's coming back, Elmer Rodriguez, who's had some major league time. But given that, the guys who are ready on the major league roster would be Ryan Weathers, who's a lefty, and Will Warren. They carry probably the biggest weight as far as Yankee pitching, and they are expendable with the players that are coming back off the injured list and the players that they have. So if I'm a betting person, I would look for one of those two pitchers to go if you're trading major league talent. Now, there's a whole bunch of minor league guys out there that aren't big names, but they are some. Ben Hess was the number one pick in 2024. I told you about Elmer Rodriguez. Those are the two pitchers that are in a name. Carlos Ograñe is hurt right now. So there's some interesting dynamics, Brian. Not a lot to trade, but, you know, there are these low-level guys that, you know, GMs get interested in because there's a lot of upside to them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if the Red Sox could tick off power and a catcher in one deal, that would be helpful. They need power, and obviously the Red Sox could use a frontline starter, which is hard to come by. And he's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 248 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Now, that's why let's bring in Tarek Skubal for a second then. On that, I don't think the Red Sox can be in that kind of market. I just think it's too expensive. But it's interesting about Skubal. I mean, Detroit's not had a good season. They certainly took a step back, but they're technically only like 5 games out of the wild card. So, but they've clearly come out as sellers, and this guy's gone. And everyone seems to say the evil empire on the West Coast is going to end up with him, which is bananas to me.
Yeah, I mean, I could totally see that happening just because they have a haul of minor league prospects, a lot of good prospects that they could deal, and major league ready talent like a Warbolesky, their left-handed pitcher who could fit the bill. That being said, we all know Tarek Skubal is getting traded. Now, it's not just because of all the rumors. Let's remember, Brian, that they fought him on an arbitration case and he won. So that was, you know, that doesn't sit well with players who want to stick around. You can say all you want, this is the team that drafted me and all this stuff. But when you're fighting a player about money, and we talked about this on a podcast back in the day, what an arbitration process looks like, how they dress you down, right? So that sits in a player's head. So Tarek Skubal is not coming back to the Tigers, if even in free agency. So the only thing they can do is deal him. And they just are bringing up today, Friday, as we talk, Max Clark, their number one prospect, will be coming up. He's an outfielder. So I'm guessing that he's going on the 40-man roster, which is a big deal because now he can't go back to the minors next year. He's not going to be able to go to the minors if there's a lockout or a strike. He has to stay on the major league roster. So there's a lot of ramifications here. So it's a big deal to be bringing him up before August 14th. So there's definitely some workings going on. That it's the ball's in motion in Detroit. Let's put it that way.
Do you think he will go to the Dodgers?
No, I don't think he'll go to the Dodgers. You know where I think he's going to go, Brian? I think this is going to shock a lot of people. I think Milwaukee is going to go back to the CC Sabathia days and go for it. And they're going to go after him because they have the prospects to do it. And I think they're going after Tarek Skubal.
Well, I actually think that that's a great pull, because if you think about the Brewers, who've had really good regular seasons and then they just lose in the playoffs.
Oh, every year.
And their window again, the mid-market teams, they have windows, right? They got a window. And whether it's going to close this year or next year, I think that if they have the guts, the balls to do that, I think that's amazing because they need to go for it. And they may not work out, but, I mean, there's no better message to send to your fans. And even like the Padres, who have had a disappointing – after a good start, a disappointing season, they're averaging 40,000 a game in San Diego, whereas 20 years ago they couldn't come close to that because they've convinced the people in San Diego that they're trying to win. Now, they may not make the right decisions – and whatever, but they're trying. And I think that that goes a huge, huge distance with fan base. So I think if they got the cojones and did that, I would love it. And it, plus it gets them, you know, in the other, it gets them in the National League. It gets them out of the division because I think that would be, that's a great call in my opinion. I don't know if it'll happen, but I love it. The other thing I want to ask you, John, is, you know, cause we were talking about Adley Rutschman and who knows where he'll go. It sounds like you don't think he'll end up in New York, but is it still with interleague play and everything else, is it still a thing where you shouldn't trade inside the division, or is that sort of gone by the wayside?
I think just because the number of games that have shrunk down, I don't think it's such a big deal anymore. I mean, yeah, you don't see the Yankees and Red Sox trading each other very often. But that being said, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, especially the way rosters are constructed now by teams, unless it's a huge impact player, and I mean like a big name player, I don't really think it really matters that much, to be honest with you. But again, Adley Rutschman is another player who they pushed out at the beginning of his career and didn't bring him up and did that stall tactic to push him past so he'd get another year of free agency. So I'm sure that sticks in his head. Now, granted, he's a little bit slower on the back end of his first free agent tour, coming in 6 years into the league, but he is injured and he's a good player and he's got the pedigree. So he will be somewhere probably other than Baltimore next year, be it trade or in the free agent after this season.
He hasn't quite lived up to the hype at the beginning, but a lot of that's been health related, right? We've just been following him for a long time because he was buddies with we talked to somebody on the podcast who knew him. Was that
Willie Yon?
Yeah. He talked about Adley Rutschman early on. Okay, here. Brian Shackman, John Senecal, episode 248 of Fanbase, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. Anything else across the league outside of Red Sox and Yankees teams that, you know, like for me, like I always look at Seattle, even though they're basically right at 500. When I compare them to Minnesota, I feel like a Minnesota will stand pat, but a Seattle will go out and make deals because I think they're one of those medium markets that's strong that isn't afraid to make a deal to go for it, right? But any other teams that you're thinking about or players you're thinking about that people should know about?
I think what you talked about, San Diego, is an interesting case because, you know, they're close, but the division that they're in is so hard. And just to knock their way through the National League in general, even if you got into the playoffs, is tough. So I think they're going to be a big factor because they hold a lot of pieces with Mason Miller on the back end. And I still think they could totally trade Fernando Tatis Jr. I know that would probably crush the fan base, but they have a lot of they do have a pretty good minor league system. So I think that would be intriguing. I don't know. I think this trade deadline is going to be very interesting because there's just not a ton of huge players out there that look to be dealt. And like I said, the catching position is very coveted. And the asking price is going to be super high. And like I said, the Yankees don't have a lot. And again, the Red Sox, they did have a lot. And I don't really think they have as much now with Anthony's questions and Mayer's questions. And, you know, Tristan Campbell can't hit and he's in AAA. So I don't think the Red Sox are as stacked as they used to be. Remember, we talked about the Orioles being so stacked and all those players aren't really panning out either, Brian. It's interesting. These big prospects, you know, they don't always hit.
It doesn't pan out. I'm curious if someone like a Pete Alonso or Francisco Lindor, would those guys be available?
Well, I think, you know, for something like a Lindor trade or a Alonso, I mean, Lindor, you're going to have to eat a ton of his money. And I'm sure, you know, Cohen would be willing to do that. But I just don't see someone I'm going to say baggage because it just seems like the Mets all have baggage. And I think the players are all tarnished coming to other teams. And I don't necessarily think a change of scenery is going to spark Lindor. I mean, let's be honest, he's at the back end of his career, Brian. So I don't see people looking to get someone like a Francisco Lindor or a Pete Alonso right now. They just don't. It's too much money and too big of a contract. I do want to tell you one thing. Speaking of contracts, Brian, so your guy Garrett Crochet has been on the IL this year. So the interesting thing has happened with Garrett Crochet because he's been on the IL so long for the Red Sox. This IL stint triggered a clause in his contract, and it's the opt-out clause in 2030 is gone for his contract. And it also triggered – a contract clause for 2032 where the Red Sox have an option for $15 million. So him being on the IL right now just worked out very well for the Red Sox. So now they just control him now through 2032, and they could pay him $15 million in 2032.
Wow, which is nothing if he's healthy. And that shows you that he's legitimately hurt, because he would not want that to be something that kicked in for sure. Listen, we're going to have a special episode on Tuesday that'll drop. We'll record Tuesday morning when – you know, everything is in and we know what the landscape looks like, and we'll break that down for you. It'll probably drop probably sometime between 10 and noon on Tuesday morning. So make sure you keep an eye out for episode 249. Other than that, John, we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Take care, Brian.
You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.